The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have a jam show today. Producer Steve's been all over it. We'll have Steve Lapis with CBS Sports at 10:20. We'll have Doug Gottlieb at 10:35 with Fox, breaking down the Final Four in a couple different avenues and ways, shapes, forms. Trying to weave in Will Smith and Chris Rock is, no, it's not going to happen today because it's been happening all morning. I was a guest on a show this morning. I'm actually doing radio twice a week now over on 1580 AM, just a 20-minute segment with Bruce Jacobs and Dale Helstra. I like them. And they called and said, would you ever want to come on? I came on a couple times and like, well, you want to keep coming on? So we worked out an agreement and it's fun. It's fun. I think it's great. 7:20 AM and we're kibitzing about what happened last night at the Oscars because I think most everybody saw what happened. And from there, today, trying to figure it out. And if you have any less respect for one or the other, you know, that's on you. So I want to get into what's going on in sports, brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. I was in Denver over the weekend visiting my son and his bride-to-be. Denver's great and went up to Breckenridge. Breckenridge doesn't suck, especially when it's not snowing and the gondola is taking you up, even though they stopped on occasion. And I took in basketball at night and screwed around during the day, ran up to Fort Collins. How do you not like Denver? It was great. And the Suns were up there on Thursday night. So we had the Suns and we had U of A basketball. We're going to go all the way back here a few days. And I actually want to go with the Suns this morning because I'm feeling like we're starting to get close to the finish line. I wrote something on Devin Booker not getting his national attention. I saw where the Arizona Republic decided to do the lack of respect card, which is something that is always talked about here in Phoenix. We're always disrespected here in Phoenix. Well, I don't know. If you didn't suck for like between 2011 and 2020 for so long, and then we just want to forget about all that stuff. When Devin Booker scored 70, remember that? That was 5 years ago. And I sat, not here, but I was in a studio and I said, yes, so what? They lost and he took 40 shots and he's on an awful team. Oh, that's terrible. You're disrespecting him. No, I'm not. I'm speaking truth. You know, I don't care how many points someone scores. I care about wins and losses. And I wasn't on Devin on that. It's just like, you guys are celebrating 70 points on 40 shots. How about last night? Last night, he had 35 on 22 shots. Go look at Devin Booker most nights now. And yes, he has much better talent around him. That falls on the owner. And we just want to run away from that and say, oh, you're reliving the past. No, the reason why Devin Booker still is not at this national level is because of what happened for all those years. It is. And he's starting to get there. And yeah, they went to the finals last year, but it wasn't a typical NBA finals. It was in the least watched month of the year, July, because of COVID. So things just still haven't been quite right. And it's not like people walk around talking about the Milwaukee Bucks other than Giannis. If you're a diehard NBA fan, yeah, you can tack everybody off. But unfortunately, in the world of mass appeal, that's why Devin is now doing Corona commercials. Have you seen those? I'm sure you've seen those, right? In March Madness. All of a sudden, forget about scoring all these points. It's, hey, we want to make sure that your Q rating gets higher. You're going to go sell beer with Snoop. That's what's going on. That's how you raise your national platform. People on the East Coast are not going to stay up to watch an 8:30 game with the Suns against the Warriors. They're just not. 10:30 in the East, they're not. And so the people that decide on these things, give me a Bill Russell MVP. I don't care about regular season MVPs. This whole thing about, oh, we're disrespected and beat LA. It's lazy. It's been done over and over and over. And over. So let's move off that and look deeper into what is going on with him not getting as much attention rather than, oh, we're just being disrespected. Oh, disrespect, disrespect. Disrespect after a while is just lazy. Give me something more than that. I can't give you a definitive answer why people aren't looking at Devin Booker, but I'm not going to say disrespect because, I don't know, Joel Embiid is pretty good. Giannis, pretty good. Joker, pretty good. And a lot of it falls on the national television. Well, they were on Christmas Day. Yeah, so were five other games. Oh, well, they get all these national appearances. So what? It's late at night. You want to be on ABC at 12:30 in the West, 3:30 in the East on a Sunday afternoon. You do. Or be in the Saturday night window. Being on a Thursday night is going to appeal to the hardcore, and there's going to be lots of them, but it's not going to be the biggest number. You know, the fans are coming back. They had their 24th consecutive sellout last night. They should. Team's fun. Team's good. Play well together. They haven't had their full cast of characters for most of the season. Like, yes, I understand there's debate about giving the coach from Memphis the coach of the year versus Monty Williams, but I'm here in Phoenix, and on this one, I will say watching this team most nights, I don't have to be at the arena to see what's going on. I have a much better seat right here. You know, Monty Williams deserves the coach of the year. He does. He's been without players this season. He hasn't had his full complement. Go back through the year and look at how many times they've had their full group together. Doesn't matter if it's Chris's injury, COVID with Devin, Ayton out early, Cam Johnson out now. Doesn't matter. Cameron Payne not here. They've had their struggles, and they've still just rolled through teams. That's a good team they beat yesterday. I'm not going to go down the path of, you know, most teams in the NBA are awful, even though they are. It's just the Suns are that much better. And yesterday was a typical Suns game. They fall behind. They let a team come back. And then they just put the foot down on the neck, push a little bit, put them out of their misery. And that's what happened to Philly yesterday. You know, the days of Ayton being disrespected by Embiid, I don't want to hear that stuff. You know, I look around the NBA, and there isn't a team that should touch the Suns in the regular season. But once you get to the playoffs, things are just different. They just are. It's like the understudies in a Broadway play, the best of the best, are not out there on the floor. They're resting their voices for when it really matters. That's what's going on, and this is the entertainment business. So many nights, there's NBA games on. People are making a big deal out of them now, and they're just not that important. Yesterday was one of those days that was an exception. It was an important game. The game at Denver that Thursday night, that was an important game. But you can't try to tell me that when they're playing, you can come up with individual players, but most nights watching NBA basketball in this time of year, it's unwatchable. So I feel very good about where the Suns are and feel very good about how they're coming along. I don't like the lazy narrative of disrespected. That's just, we're better than that. The NFL owners meetings are going on in Palm Beach, Florida. I wish the NFL owners would say, you know, our meetings are going on in El Paso. I wish our meetings were going on in Flagstaff. You know, it'd be great to have our NFL owners meetings in Chico, California. But no, they're going to go to West Palm Beach and they're going to go to the Biltmore, and that's fine. But every now and then, I just like to see them mix it up a little bit just so guys like us would freak out and say, why are they going to El Paso? Why not? Take your show on the road. And they're trying to figure out what to do with overtime. They need 24 votes to figure out overtime. Anybody who's on my side of the street, who's not on my side of the street on this one, why? Why would you not want, why does it come down to just the winner of the coin flip, takes the ball, wins the game, and that's it? Why do you want that? It's just a flip of a coin. It's not the out on the field. And I just think it's a bad look for the NFL. They need 24 votes. I hope they get it. It's one of the most egregious rules, and there's lots of rules in the league, lots of them. But that's one that just it bothers me. Cardinals are going to sign Will Hernandez, guard, who was with the Giants. They're going to scrimmage the Titans. A couple notes that came out of there today. In terms of the Final Four, I'm into Remy Martin and Mitch Lightfoot. Remy Martin, Mitch Lightfoot. And you're going to say, what? Unless you're a KU fan. So Mitch Lightfoot was at Gilbert Christian. It feels like, I don't know, years and years and years ago. It probably was. Mitch is now part of the KU rotation. Remy Martin, of course, we know Remy Martin. Here with Arizona State, Bobby Hurley's like, you got to go chase it. Fifth-year senior, did his thing, did his due diligence, leaves. Now he's playing the Final Four. That's what it's all about. Bit concerning if you are a player, not just at Arizona State, but at any place in the transfer portal where now it's, I've put in my time, I've done my 5 years, now I want to go chase a championship, and I'm not going to win one here. So I feel good for Remy. I feel good for Mitch Lightfoot, two players that I've seen, I've covered, seen a lot of them, and they are there for KU. I think this is a Final Four of just heavyweight, titanic numbers. You know, Jay Wright, if Jay Wright wins this would be his third title. That's like in the case of John Wooden and Mike Krzyzewski and those places. So people look at Villanova and like, oh, well, Villanova lost Justin Moore, their best player. Like, Jay Wright's this close. It's really something. And he doesn't have 10 dudes that he rolls out. You know, if you're a Duke fan, of course you're going to be rooting for Krzyzewski. If you're a college basketball fan, you're going to root for him. If you're North Carolina, you're going to root against him. Anybody who's rooting against Mike Krzyzewski, I have to wonder why. If you're a fan of the sport, this is the storybook ending. There's not a better Final Four than what we have this year. There's not. The storylines are so pronounced, and they're so good. Unless St. Peter's would have won yesterday, but even with them getting run over by North Carolina and their run coming to an end, you get Carolina-Duke. Carolina-Duke both lost to Virginia Tech 3 weeks ago. Like, they were tested, they were pushed, and there's great players all over the floor. So I am totally about the Final Four, and that's why I've got two guests coming up today, Steve Lapis and Doug Gottlieb. In terms of what happened to U of A fans, I don't know why you would be so upset and disappointed. I don't. Yeah, you were seated high. You were probably seated too high. I don't think you were pushed that hard in the Pac-12. Mathurin, we enjoyed him while we could. Coloco was a decent, good, serviceable, better than serviceable at times, big man. You know, Tommy Lloyd came in and re-recruited that team. That team ended up playing for him. But Houston is just too good defensively. And you could see that one coming. The defense of Houston, U of A played well on one end of the floor. That was on offense. The other end of the floor, not so much. That's it. Pretty simple. All right. Coming up, Steve Lapis. Steve was part of the great calls in March Madness. I got to bring this up off the top. Remember the cheerleader at Indiana where the ball got stuck? He was there on the call for that game. And then we'll get through the Final Four and all that. And then Doug Gottlieb. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He never screws up. He is the Iron Man. I'm Brad Sussmat, back with Steve Lapis next. All right, as promised, there were so many great moments in the madness of March. And Steve Lapis was a part of a couple of them, I thought. One was all the run by the Peacocks, National Peacock Day. They had fun in their studio shows with it. But the other one, he's in Portland with Andrew Catalan, and the ball gets stuck. And the two of them had one of the greatest calls, I thought, in a delay of game that I've ever seen. And I want to have the coach on for – that's the fun side. Obviously, the Final Four. What the heck happened to the Pac-12 and West Coast basketball in general? So we have a lot to talk about with CBS Sports College basketball analyst Steve Lapis. How are you?
I'm doing great. How's it going?
Good. I'm down to four, Steve. And the magic moment there, first of all, that thing blew up more than anybody expected on social and around the world. And then another cheerleader did it, but it was a tough act to follow.
Well, you know, it's just funny how Andrew Catalan is so good at capturing the moment. You know, we also had the game where Michigan and Wisconsin had the fight, and he captured that too. So, I mean, here's a guy who's, when something happens in the moment like that, you don't have time to think about it. You just react. And his natural instincts as a broadcaster are so good that he just nails these things every time they're placed in front of him. And that was just another example. There were like 2 million views of that call of the cheerleader going up there. It was just an amazing moment to be, but hey, I did my best, which was to be shut up and just listen to him.
And then you fist bump in between the break. Cause you know,
exactly.
That's it. All right. National Peacock Day. Before we get into the game, we're not just going to push St. Peter's off to the side. When the Netflix documentary is made about this, who plays Shaheen Holloway? I mean, you can't just let this go off on they made it this far and that's it. It's one of the greatest moments ever in the history of the tournament, right?
No, there's no question about it. I mean, when you think about it, there is you could give me that there'll be 3 16s, I think, to beat a one seed before that happens again, before 15 gets to the Elite Eight. And that's how rare I think we're going to find that being. Now, obviously, it happens. There's potential for that to happen more nowadays than it did 30 years ago because the kids leaving early and the mid-major teams are older and the other teams are younger. But in a year like this, which is a COVID year, college basketball is about as old as it's ever been. And for them to do what they did is just an unbelievable accomplishment. I mean, St. Peter's is not even close to being one of the best jobs in the MAC conference. I coached in the MAC at Manhattan College for 4 years, so I know exactly. Their budget's the worst, everything else, and here they were, get to the Elite Eight. It was just a phenomenal accomplishment.
Steve Lapis with a CBS Sports college basketball analyst. All right, Pac-12, Gonzaga, West Coast basketball in general, where are we at here? Because U of A, UCLA, were they just not tested enough during the regular season? What do you make out of it? Because everyone's trying to figure it out here, Steve.
I think sometimes we make too much out of it. You know, it's the tournament. The tournament is crazy. You know, you never know what's going to happen. You got to have a lot of luck. Like people are asking me, the Big Ten, they haven't won a championship since 2001, and they get 8-9 teams in every year. So how can you have 160, 170 teams getting the NCAA tournament every year? I mean, in 20 years, 21 years, and nobody wins it. It's the tournament. That's the only way I could, you know, it's easy to say, well, Gonzaga plays in the West Coast Conference, but they also were in two national championship teams in the last 5 years. You know, UCLA, well, you know, and Arizona, they just got beat. And I think once you get to the Sweet 16, let's understand this. And even before that, but especially in the Sweet 16, you're playing a good team. Anything can happen.
Yeah, and in this state, there's a lot of people that are after Bobby Hurley. I'm like, stop. Press the brakes. Who are you going to get that's better for a job at Arizona State that's not done much? He's building it. And in Tucson, it's year one after Sean. So I just feel like in this state in particular, it's patience. And fans don't want to hear patience. And patience will get a coach fired after 4 or 5 years. But I think in both spaces, they're in a good spot.
Yeah, well, you know, nowadays that is 4 or 5 years is a lot. You know, nowadays it's 3 years, really, that people get fired. And you think about the job Bobby has done prior to this year. And even this year, the way they played in February and March in terms of bringing that thing back, I had their game at Arizona on CBS, and they couldn't have played better. So they had injuries. They had so many things going on. So, you know, Bobby's done a great job there, and he'll continue to do a great job. And as far as Arizona, I mean, what can you say? Tommy Lloyd had as good a year as you could possibly have in your first year. And, you know, those guys all improved from last year to this year. You saw that the improvement was unbelievable. And, yeah, they had a tough loss in the tournament. There's no question about it. But I think Arizona basketball, Arizona State and Arizona are both in really good hands.
Steve Lapis with us. Before I get you out of here, okay, the injury to Justin Moore turns everything upside down for Villanova against Kansas. They have a short bench to begin with. What do you see in that matchup with that injury?
Well, you know, obviously Caleb Daniels is like a sixth starter. So it's, as far as that goes, they have a quality starter. Now, losing Justin Moore is tough because he was their second most important player. To me, Colin Gillespie is the most important player, and then was Justin Moore. Just all the little things besides scoring, all the other things that he does, rebound, defending the other team's best perimeter player. I mean, he just did so many things. And for Villanova, I think they can still beat Kansas because their five guys are still really good and they still have that culture, the way they play. The problem is if they get any kind of foul trouble, they're going to need 20 minutes from guys that have been playing 4 or 5 minutes and Brian Antoine, who has played no minutes. So if they get two fouls in the first half on two guys, they're going to have a major issue. So it'll be interesting to see if Jay maybe uses zone a little bit more to try and keep guys on the floor. He's really – it's definitely a delicate juggling that he's got to do. But if things go well and they don't get in foul trouble, they definitely can win.
How do you not root for Coach K to win this? How does that – I mean, we're supposed to be impartial, and yet here it is.
I mean, this is like a movie. You know what I mean? This is what we have here. It's like a movie going on that that who would know, who would think that this could be laid out any better? Not only making it to the Final Four, but playing Carolina for the first time in the history of the NCAA tournament. They've never faced each other. They played 257 games against each other total in their history and never won in the NCAA tournament. That is amazing. And the fact that they're playing in the Final Four in Coach K's last year, after what's going on the last month with Carolina winning at Cameron Indoor, you can't make this stuff up.
You got a gut on that one, Steve?
I think Duke ends up winning because I think they're better. You know what I mean? They just have better players. They got 5 first-round draft picks. They're playing great right now. I think when they beat Michigan State, when they were down 5 in the last 5 minutes, I think that did something, that all of a sudden the confidence factor for those young guys just rose up completely. And no, Hubert Davis has done a great job because they had a very uneven year in North Carolina. But I just think Duke has better players. And not taking anything away from North Carolina, I just think Duke's better.
Good stuff. Appreciate your time, your insight, and good stuff in the tournament, not just on the floor, but also in the studio as well. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Steve Lapis with a CBS Sports college basketball analyst, and we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, Doug Gottlieb in the car on his way after the Final Four is set. I want to talk with Doug for a few minutes from Fox Sports about the Pac-12, U of A, UCLA, the Zags, West Coast Hoops, and just the Final Four in general. Thanks for jumping on in for a minute. Drive safe. How are things, Doug?
All good, man. Doing a little park run with the dogs. So, or we done a little school run with my son. So, all good. Interesting. Always interesting how we get to the Final Four. And when usually there's always a blue blood, seems like, and then there's usually a Cinderella. Who knew that our blue blood would and Cinderella would be both North Carolina? So that one's weird. So it's a weird Final Four, but it should be a really, really good one, entertaining one.
How do you find yourself not rooting for Coach K on this one? Or is it just open, look, this is his tournament, this is his song?
I think they're going to win it. But I don't know. I could make the argument that Jay Wright runs the best modern day college basketball program, considering all the different factors. Mm-hmm. And they're playing without arguably their most talented player. Bill Self, I think, has done his best coaching job at Kansas. I don't think this is even close to his most talented team. And yet here they are, Big 12 champions and in the Final Four. And then, you know, I have a personal relationship with Hubert Davis, having worked with him at ESPN. And there's like 5 people or so in this industry, you know, Clark Kellogg, LaFonso Ellis, Hubert Davis, a couple others that are just like better guys than everybody else. They're just incredible people. And Hubert's one of those guys. So it's not to say I'm not rooting for Coach K. It's to say, like, all right, but that would mean I have to root against those guys. No thanks.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. It's really interesting because the national narrative, is, I believe, has got to be what it is today. And this is Mike Krzyzewski's tournament, but there are compelling storylines all the way around. When you look at the West Coast, and out here in Arizona, there are fans upset that the Cats got eliminated. Bobby Hurley hasn't gotten it turned around to some people's expectations. I'm not one of those. I like where Bobby is. And then Gonzaga being eliminated. Is there something about the West Coast, Doug, from what you see? Or is it just, look, they ran into better teams, Brad, and this isn't brain surgery?
I don't think so. I don't think it has. The whole coastal thing is really obnoxious. You know, it's like UCLA's plenty tough-minded. Now, they didn't guard that well when they got eliminated, but they're tougher than hell. They went to the Final Four last year. Gonzaga went to a championship game last year. And now Gonzaga's not on the coast, but it is in the Western United States. So I don't know. Like, everybody wants to make West Coast soft, East Coast tough. East Coast strong, West Coast weak, right? But
yeah, right, right.
It's not the reality. The sport is the sport. I do think that if you wanted to pick out a fundamental flaw of Gonzaga and of Arizona, they're two very, very offensive-minded teams. And they are two teams that I think that the easiest parallel for people who don't really know the sport is it's a lot like the Indianapolis Colts when Peyton Manning was there and what the Patriots would do to them. If you remember back, every time they play the Patriots in the playoffs, it seemed like the Patriots would force them off their timing routes, right? They would just be physical with them at the line of scrimmage. And that's really what happens to Gonzaga and this year to Arizona, Tommy Lloyd is their head coach, where if you just let them run up and down and run offense, you're going to get your brains beat up because they're really good. And I actually think Arizona was more talented than Gonzaga was. I think Gonzaga had a better they've just been good for longer, and I think their point guard was notably better. But it's not that Kirk Kalisa is bad. He's just, you know, I think Nembhard is outstanding. I mean, really, really a big time player, and he had way more experience during his time at Florida and his time playing the Final Four last year. So all of those things. So I don't think it's any one side of the states is softer. Like UCLA is tough. If Gonzaga is not tough, it's not because of where they're located. It's because of how they play, you know. And I don't think they play soft, but just their style is very free flowing. And, like, look, if we're realistic, the WCC people, they have a tendency to get really, really defensive, really defensive over their league, you know. And I think their league's outstanding. The problem with it is you're not going to face the level or depth of athletes that you're going to face in the NCAA tournament. Now, obviously, with their success, they're the only school to make it to seven consecutive Sweet 16s here in the last 7 years or last seven tournaments, whatever. So they've been successful. But I think when you get to the absolute peak, one, some of it's that they haven't seen it, and some of it's just that they're not – it doesn't get – what they don't have doesn't get exposed. So as for Arizona, like, look, you couldn't have had a better year one. I mean, I guess you could have had a better year one under Tommy Lloyd if they went to a Final Four. But considering where that program had been, and the seamless transition, and, like, look, let's also be honest. I know Tommy's no dummy. He knew that Sean left him players, but to keep them, to embrace them, to give them a system where they can flourish in, I think that's great coaching. I think that's a great first year for Arizona.
Before I get you out of here, and I appreciate your time this morning, Doug, Ben Mathurin, the next level, how good, what's the ceiling, what do you see?
It's really good, really, really good. And he has that thing where he usually, I mean, obviously he didn't play well in their last game, but usually brings his level up based upon the level of competition. Brad Beal, maybe? Brad Beal's probably the ceiling.
Yeah.
Like, he's a damn good player. And he competes at both ends. He's tough. He makes shots. Really improve in the last 2 years. Yeah, he's the deal. I mean, this draft, you know, when people started watching college basketball as scouts, and they thought this was a three-guy draft, right? Chet, Jabari Smith, and Paolo. And I don't even know if Jabari was as much. Jaden Ivey was discussed. But you look, and now you put Ben in there, you put Jaden Ivey in there, put Keegan Murray in there. You get, like, a lottery is a pretty – you're going to get a good player who's going to be a good pro and a potential all-star for years to come.
Good stuff. I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time. Be safe as you drive. Thanks.
Anytime.
Doug Gottlieb with us for a few minutes, Fox Sports, and we're back with more after this time out.